Good morning, our dear listeners, and thank you for keeping it locked at Witness Radio. My name is Tony Katende, and I'm sitting in for Eunice Nangobi. This is the Know Your Land and Environmental Rights, a program that tells us all legal aspects in these fields. In today's program, we are talking about issues in Kaweri and Chikonda in Chankwanzi. Now, you can also catch us live at all our social media channels, that is Facebook, X, and Instagram. Just write at Witness Radio or search at Witness Radio. But also, you can send us information relating to land evictions, all defenders that are being criminalized as a result of their work. You can reach us at radio@witnessradio.org and info@witnessradio.org. Plus, you can also call us at 0414-69-7221. We shall be receiving your information and we shall be taking action. Now, let's go for a short break.
The place is dry and this is UNRWA paid part of those people when they are passing that interview express. But why are they not coming out today? We cannot agree with them. Let them kill us. We make it a day. Life is life and death is death. Let us make it. It is complete. Period.
Avoid being evicted or grabbed land because you're not aware of your land rights and laws. Listen to Know Your Land and Environmental Rights program to get equipped with knowledge concerning land rights, governance and land management in Uganda. Catch us live at 10 a.m. on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday. Don't miss repeat at 5 p.m. Know Your Land and Environmental Rights, changing land narratives.
In Uganda, land is a valuable resource that is necessary for everyone to survive and flourish. So it is equally crucial to comprehend the land laws and policies about its appropriate usage. To learn more, tune in to Witness Radio.
Welcome back from the short break. I am still Tony Katende, sitting in for Eunice Nangobi. This is Know Your Land and Environmental Rights here at Witness Radio. We thank you so much for keeping it locked, always at Witness Radio. Uganda's favorable climate for agriculture makes the country a hotspot for agribusiness investments. Don't forget that Uganda is also a big destination for agri-investors because of the favorable investment incentives, including the government offer to free land for investors requiring large tracts of land, tax reduction, free electricity, friendly import-export incentives, among others, amidst land-related transactions. Amidst all land-related transactions involving large-scale agriculture projects, carbon offset tree plantations, oil refineries, and mines require large tracts of land. Now, Witness Radio has monitored and documented firsthand harrowing cases of forceful land evictions in these projects. With financial support from the German-based organizations, IZ3W and SAES, Witness Radio conducted a fact-finding mission regarding the impact of land-based investments of two German companies. That is Kaweri Coffee Plantation, a subsidiary of Nwamen Cafe Group, and Global Woods International AG, which sold its plantation to Nile Fiber Board Limited. In the Know Your Land and Environmental Rights today, this is the first of the three audio tutorials that are intended to raise voices of the communities impacted by the German investments. We also bring in the key informants who participated in the fact-finding mission, and we bring their development perspectives for sustainable livelihoods among the German and the Ugandan audience. In this tutorial, we also bring voices of those affected, and over the next 30 minutes, you will hear from those communities both positive and negative impacts of the land acquisitions and the operations of the Kaweri Coffee Plantation and the Chikonda Forest Plantation, as well as the opinions and recommendation from the key informants and land rights experts.
So we received information around June 2001. Actually, we received a letter dated 11th June 2001. The content of this letter was that the land on which we were residing, on which we had settled, had been sold to a large company, the New Money Cafe Group, which wanted to transform this land into a coffee plantation, the first of its own in Africa. And by that letter, it was claimed that it would be the largest plantation, coffee plantation in Africa. However, in our knowledge, this land belonged to the Katikkiro of Buganda, and it was part of those estates which are referred to as official estates. Our land, our family had lived on this land from around the late 1890s. By the time of the Buganda Agreement of 1900, which resulted into the surveying of land, our family was already there on this land. So the survey itself took place while our families were already residing on this land. So the plantation, according to the information we got from that letter, the plantation was intending to take Buekula Block 99, Plot 1, which measures around 9.6 square miles. When the actual survey was made, there was an encroachment on Buekula Block 103. So we reported this encroachment, but we were defeated by the office of the RDC despite bringing all the documents. So actually the purported landowner did not speak to us. It was always the government through the RDC which was speaking to us.
The army came and warned us to vacate within 3 days. We were told that the investor does not want anybody on our land. These people did not consult us for us to okay the land giveaway. They instead fronted the investor, wants our land, and that he is more interested in finding it without people. They want shoot us and kill us. They didn't pay or compensate us, and the only option was for us to leave. This was a painful experience since we had nowhere to go.
Such experiences filled the fact-finding mission in the Kaweri community, where the Nwemeni Coffee Group established the Kaweri Coffee Plantation. In Chikonda, the community members we spoke to revealed
Nalinga andi mukulima nga ndi nomwami wange n'abaana. Nalinga andimye mu yika 15. Naye mukulima nabwe nalinga andima. Ndaba basajja nga baze ngalimu omusirikale bali bayita Mukisa. Kubanga Mukisa ye twalinga nali mumanyi yali mu polisi.
I was harvesting maize together with my husband and my children on our land that was measuring 15 acres. I saw a group of people that were coming towards our direction. This group was headed by one Mugisa who had a gun, while other men held sticks. Because of fear, everyone ran and took their direction. I ran too. But shortly, Mugisa comforted me to stop running and asking me questions like, why were you digging on the forest company land? And ordered me to sit down on the ground. Later, he brought three other women where I had seated and ordered one by one to go to bushes. When we went there, you would find men who would force you into sexual actions.
In 2014, I was attacked by workers of Global Woods AG, who erected the wire across the small path I normally use to access my home. I accidentally fell in it, an accident that broke my leg. I reported the accident to the police, but nothing happened.
These community voices reveal that land acquisition processes involved methods which seem to have violated human and land rights. After the break, we are going to hear from informants in this context.
Do you want to learn more about the legal nitty-gritty of land laws? Benefit from our programs at Witness Radio. We will teach you how you can protect your land from land grabbers. Are you a human rights activist? Do you want the voice of the voiceless to reach the authority responsible? Tune in to the People's Radio, Witness Radio. Listen to Witness Radio addressing land issues in your community on matters of land development that do not affect the people and the environment.
Farmers, do you want to learn essential agricultural practices and benefit from your land? Look no further. Tune in to Witness Radio for expert knowledge and guidance.
Welcome back, our dear listeners, and thank you for keeping tuned to Witness Radio. In our studios today, we also host two legal experts, Joan Budialali and Sarah Adong.
Of course, they are going to be breaking down some of the legal matters within the Kaweri and Global Woods eviction cases. So stay tuned to Witness Radio, but for now, I'll let them introduce themselves to us, and then later we shall be beginning our show.
Thank you, Tony, for this opportunity, for inviting us for this program. Like you said, I am called Blirali Joan, and I'm happy to be here to share the knowledge. Stay tuned in. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony, for the invite. Like you said, I'm Sarah Dong, and I'm happy to be here. We hope we have a good deliberation today.
Okay, thank you so much for honoring our invitation and always supporting us at Witness Radio. Now, we are going to talk about two cases. Of course, these matters happened 20 years back. There's a case where people were evicted in Mubende by Kaweri Coffee Plantation, which is owned by the Nweman Cafe Group. And then there's another case that is involving still a German company in Chikonda, that is Changkwanzi district. Now, in all these cases, we found out that people were forcibly evicted from their lands without adequate compensation. Of course, it even did not exist by then, because they were not compensated. Now, these companies were given lands, of course, by the government, but in our findings, we found out that people had previously occupied and were using their lands, these lands, before the coming in of these companies. We are here to seek legal opinions from these experts on this situation where two companies that we just talked about, acquired a 49-year lease, that is the Chikonda. Yeah, it acquired a 49-year lease in 2022 to plant trees in a reforestation program. And on the same piece of land, we also heard from the residents and also confirmed from the area leaders that his people had previously been invited by the area leaders to cultivate on this land. And also, there are also some other community members that are alleged to have settled on the land before the 1980s. So, that is the Chikonda case. Now, there's another case involving the eviction of people. According to our investigations, actually, there were 2,000 people that were evicted from their lands. And then this land was given to investor with the support of the government to carry out coffee plantation, and people were forcibly evicted without respect of their rights on land and compensation. We also understood that some people were not consulted, and did not consent to the land giveaway. Now, in this matter, what we are looking for, we just want to understand from the legal experts what this means when a land that formerly was being owned or occupied by local people and then later it's given to an investor. What does this mean? And what are the legal procedures the government has to follow when giving out land to an investor, and what should the people know in this regard? Then the other thing, what should an investor know? What obligation does he have to hold? So we are looking at responsibilities of each party. What does the government has to do when giving out free lands or lands that are owned by people to the investors, and what should the community do? What do they need to know? And what should be the responsibility of the investor? Now, I invite Council Joan Vidali to talk to us on this matter.
Thank you, Tony, for this opportunity. As a fact state, there are a lot of legal procedures, or there are a lot of legal, can I call it technicalities, that are involved in this case that need to be followed to make sure that actually there is lawful eviction of people from their land. So looking at the facts, we have bona fide occupants on that land, and then we have compulsory land acquisition, and then we have to look at the fact that we have to look at the Investment Code Act. We have to make sure that all that, we look at all those laws that are governing, lawful acquisition of land, to see that, people's land rights are not violated. So for starters, what I'll start with is what the community members need to know when an investment comes to their community. The first thing they need to know, especially now that these are bona fide occupants, and we have those that you said that have been on the land for some good time,
before
coming into the 1995 Constitution of Uganda. So when you look at such people, they have a right to be compensated by whoever wants to take over their land, according to the Land Act and even the Constitution itself. Council Sarah will be expounding more on the articles, that provide for such rights. So they have to make sure that they are compensated. They have to make sure that they are consulted by the investors. They have to come to them and consult them, let them know that there is a project coming and what is it going to do and of what impact. Okay, because sometimes there are investments that come to stay with people. So if they stay with us, when they affect us? If you want us to go off the land, then come and talk to us. And this must be a willing buyer, willing seller thing, not to force me because you have been sent by the government and this is an investment project, because sometimes I know the government tends to want to be above the law, and yet we very well know that everybody must abide by the laws that are governing land management in Uganda. So to that effect, the company must come and consult people, sensitize them, let them know that there is a project that is coming on ground and it's going to do this and this. If they are to evict them off the land completely, then we must talk about the procedures that must be followed for compulsory land acquisition, where it involves, of course, you consult them, and in a language that they best understand, not to come speak English and yet these are illiterates. And then to also make sure that they are adequately compensated, discuss figures that they agree with, not to give them some small money, like we hear people saying, now, like your squatters, now like those ones that were settled, you may find that they do not have proper legal documentation to show that actually the government resettled them on that land. And so, in one way, even the government may, backstab them and look at them as squatters. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So, and another thing they have to get to know that now this is not their land. So when the investor is compensating, they are not compensating you for the land, but they are compensating you for the developments that are on the land. If you built your house, if you have crops and all that, and these rates are per the district rates that are given for compensation. So something that is something they must know. And then they make sure that even during such, you know, instances, there are procedures of they have to make sure that the company also values their property properly so that, you know, they are not undervalued and all those things. And they also have to make sure, you know, they have to be very, very vigilant and very aware about the law, what it says about, you know.
You talked about the compensation.
Yes.
We are seeing a lot of events that happen during the evictions. Even if when we try to cite out these two cases.
Yes.
Of course, companies say they are not liable for the evictions. It's the government. And the government does not want to compensate the people. And then my question would be, who do they have to hold accountable in this?
Apparently, right now, there are authorities that are governing each and every sector in the country. You know, like now let's imagine with land, we have the Ministry of Lands looking at all the things. When we're looking at government land, probably we have the Uganda Land Commission and all the things. So let's imagine, because now here we are imagining that if the government, you know, gave land to the investor in one way or another, the investor must have probably gone through, that is if the land is government land, must have gone through probably the Uganda Land Commission. So now if the community is to, you know, hold someone accountable would be now the Uganda Land Commission. I mean, you gave land out, you know. Of course, indirectly, you're holding the government accountable, you know. You gave land out to an investor that has not compensated as well, and the law is stating this and this. It's just that you and I know that we have the law in theory, but practically, the things on ground, things are a bit different. Practically, okay. Things the government is doing is not actually following the law. They feel like they are above the law. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, now we are the government, what will you tell us? You get? So that is the challenge we're having here in Uganda. Mm-hmm. The laws are there to protect people, mm-hmm. but the government itself is so much interested into investment at the expense of its citizens. There are many people that are actually homeless as we speak right now, and the government is not bothered, but mm-hmm. because of investments. People are staying in refugee camps.
Okay, Councillor Sarah. These yes. people are being evicted, and one of the issues we are not sure of if they know their rights. My first question that maybe I want to pose to you, are these people aware of their rights? And if they are not, what do they need to know to protect their land ownership rights?
To pick from what Mike, thank you so much, Tony. To pick from what my colleague Joanne has shared with you, the biggest issue in such communities that are faced with or are challenged with evictions is usually the security of tenure. So in such communities where, let's say, government allocated land to specific people, definitely you're going to be a bona fide occupant. So in instances where you're a bona fide occupant, you can get a CCO, you can get a freehold, you can get...
What's a CCO? What does it mean?
A customary certificate of ownership to show that you're protecting your rights legally. Because when you look at the Registration of Titles Act, it says that when you have a title, it shows conclusive evidence of what? Of ownership. So where you have a title, where you have a legal document, you're more protected. Other than you just saying, I was settled in this land by the government, but you know, I do not have any documentation, because without documentation, you cannot prove your interest on that land. So I implore or I call upon all communities that where there is a possibility of registration, if you have the ability, because a customary certificate of ownership only costs 10,000 Ugandan shillings, you know, plus of course some other monies that come along with the land area committee sitting and making a decision, visiting the area that you want to get registered. Maybe approximately it will go to 100,000 shillings, which I feel is favorable. But of course, I cannot speak for the whole community, because some of these community members are impoverished. But government, for example, has different projects. Now, for example, like SLAC, where there are encouraging everyone to, you know, register land under freehold, you know, titles. So I encourage all people to have protected interests on land. Make sure you have a legal document mm-hmm. that actually says you're settled on this land.
Okay, thank you, Council. So how about other tenure systems, maybe Milo or any other? Let's say Milo, do they have to do?
So for other tenures, for example, customary tenure, you know, the constitution under Article 237 stipulates the tenures that are within the country. So all that are accepted by law, where somebody can actually have, you know, interest, and you can only have interest only on four tenures in Uganda, which is customary tenure, freehold tenure, leasehold tenure, and Milo tenure. So now when I'm speaking of a customary certificate of ownership, it can cut across on the Milo tenure and also on the what? On the customary tenure. Because even when you have a customary tenure of land, you can actually change it to freehold. Same as if you have a Milo, it can still cross over to freehold, you know, tenure. So all in all, I implore that most of these evictions, as a result of lack of security of tenure in communities, communities are not so much aware of the strength they would have if they had secured their tenure. So, and the government can only do much. So sometimes it takes a personal initiative. It takes maybe the initiative of, you know, different civil society organizations to organize these sensitization sessions. But the government alone cannot be able to have money to reach into those communities. And also, I want to tell whoever is listening today that Uganda in Africa or in East Africa has the best land laws, because even other countries are mapping from us. Countries like Liberia, mm-hmm. countries like most West African countries, Gambia, all those countries are doing mapping on land laws from us. So we have the best land laws, if I should say. Uganda has the best land laws. They are very, very comprehensive. They have, like my colleague Joanne has been sharing, you cannot want to acquire land compulsorily and you do not have a legal document to guide you. You cannot want to do investment and there is always a law to guide us, more so when it comes to the issues of land.
You talked about the people tapping into the opportunities of the civil societies to have their lands registered, if I got you right. And how should they tap into these opportunities? Because many of them are sometimes left out, and maybe the others do not get the opportunities to get closer to civil society's heads, if I may say. How can they get these opportunities?
How I could answer to that is there are different programs. Every civil society organization has specific projects that it runs. But also to clear the air or the confusion is, a civil society cannot help you register your land. However, it can give you guidance on how you can register your land. So civil societies or a group of land actors comes together and they have different project areas. Mubende is one of the districts that has been challenged a lot with forceful evictions, and this has been prolonged in different communities because of the different projects that are within that area or that are within that district. However, I cannot promise that civil society organizations are going to, you know, register communities' land. But what civil societies do, civil societies are just bridging the gap that the government of Uganda has left, or for example the gap that Ministry of Lands has left in terms of sensitization on land rights. Because when you're sensitized, you're knowledgeable and you know where to actually go and get your land registered. Secondly, what I can talk about is the land justice system has been decentralized. You find that each of the districts, or at least all the regions, there is a land zonal office. There is also, you know, district land boards. There are land area committees who are knowledgeable about this information, because these personnels are trained by Ministry of Lands before they hold office or before they, you know, step foot in office. So the communities should take advantage of such offices or such personnels to actually get land, their lands registered and get their rights protected. Because without a security of tenure, you're barely protected. Without any documentation, you're barely protected, most especially when now it turns out to be a case of court. It turns out to be a litigation case. It becomes harder to protect the community. One thing that I really wanted to add on is the challenges with these development projects. First of all, the Investment Code Act protects the investor. It doesn't protect the citizen of this country. When you look at sections 24 and 25 of that act, they tell you, they tell us that an investor's property is always going to be protected. So the investor's rights are protected over the, you know, the national's right or the citizen's right, which is also, it brings in a lot of questions. It brings in a lot of mixed feelings, because why would, yes, we are very glad that investors have chosen to come to Uganda for purposes of growth of economy, you know, and maybe because we get some little taxes here and there, and also for development. But I call upon investors to also be responsible in whatever they are doing. Because when you invest with responsibility, then there are challenges. Even your business goes ahead. Things like the investment is moving forward. Other than these, you know, having human rights violations, that the community is suing you, I call upon all investors to actually carry out, you know, responsible investment. Look at the communities, adhere to human rights standards, adhere to the communities, do consultations, be transparent enough. Because with enough information, the host communities are willing to, you know, welcome you in their communities so that you invest freely.
Thank you so much, Councillor Sarah. Thank you so much, Councillor Joan, for responding to our calls.
The communities of Chikonda and Kaweri were caught off guard, unaware of their rights, and unprepared to defend themselves. When reached out by civil society organizations about the land grabs, the government of Uganda appeared unmoved, while the perpetrators have taken no responsibility for the harm they caused. In our second audio tutorial, we introduced the specific negative and positive impacts of the German investment corporations on the communities, mitigation measures taken, and challenges. This tutorial was produced with financial support from IZ3W and SEZI under the Defending Land Access, Strengthening Democratic Participation project. Thank you for choosing Witness Radio. Bye-bye.